Good morning. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read the Word of God, and then you can sit when I speak. We're going to read from Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." And then the Lord said to the woman, "What have you done?" And the woman said to the serpent, said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." John 16:33 says, Jesus says this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble." Was he lying? "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Our Father in heaven, Lord, we gather in your name this morning, in the name of Jesus. We gather in the name of your Son. We come this morning to worship the Father in spirit, to worship the Father in truth. We come, Lord, asking questions. We come to seek and to ask and to knock. We come to learn. We come to understand. We pray, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would heal us this morning and encourage us this morning. We pray that you would renew us this day for the life that lies before us. Help us, God, to make sense of this world. We pray for illumination and revelation, for understanding. We thank you that you are risen Jesus that walks in our midst. And we welcome you in our hearts this morning. May your spirit penetrate us this morning. And in all of this, would you please be glorified, we pray, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. And all those who love God would say what? Amen. You all may be seated. It's good to see you this morning. We're so glad that you're here. There's a lot of new things going on in the church. There's a lot of new things happening. Isn't this weather wonderful? My electric bill last month was horrendous. Air conditioning, and now I don't have it on. It's like there's a change in the seasons. There's a lot of great things happening here at the church. The Word speaks. Our Wednesday Bible study is happening, and it's awesome. We have a parenting class starting next week. It's going to be awesome starting next Sunday. We have this Christian Foundations, this Christian if you want to go deeper in your Christian faith, we're going to be punching that out in October, and you're going to hear more about that. That's going to be coming soon. We have a new college director we're going to introduce you to next week, a guy named Glenn that's pretty awesome. We're glad to have him be a part of our church. We have our growth groups that started last week, and today we're starting a brand new series called Questions. Questions. When you read the Gospels, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will find that people had many questions for Jesus, and rightfully so, because anybody that walks on water, that raises the dead, that heals the lame and the sick, might know something more than you do, might have insight that you don't have, and you probably should listen to him. Do I hear an amen? If anybody can raise from the dead, they might know something that you don't. People came to Jesus with lots of questions, his disciples asking him questions. And by the way, when you read in the Gospels, you'll find that Jesus is called Rabbi. Rabbi, rabbi. And what does the word rabbi mean? It's a Hebrew word that means what?
Teacher.
Teacher, right? Jesus is a teacher. And disciples is a word for a learner. And what are you and I in here today? Disciples. We are learners. And I'm continually growing and learning on my spiritual journey, and so are you. Jesus is our rabbi. Jesus is our teacher. We have lots of questions. People, I've had a lot of questions. In my spiritual journey, I've had a lot of questions for Jesus. Jesus has answered a lot of my questions. Jesus is still answering some of my questions. I still have questions that I have for Jesus that he's yet to answer. And yet, I'm encouraged. There's a wonderful piece of scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. The great apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. He says, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." Even the apostle Paul says, there's things that I still have questions about. There's things that are known, but things someday everything will be completely revealed to me. Even the apostle Paul. Hey guys, a couple of years ago, there was a great movie that came out called Risen. Who's seen the movie Risen? Wonderful movie. If you haven't seen it, go see it this week. Came out a couple of years ago. It's a wonderful movie. And in the movie, it's a story of Jesus dying and coming up out of the grave. And in the movie, this Roman centurion was ordered to make sure that Jesus dies on the cross in crucifixion. And then Jesus comes up out of the grave, and this Roman soldier's job was to go find the body of Jesus and to refute this idea that his disciples said that he's arisen from the dead. This Roman soldier ends up seeing Jesus, the scars in his wrists, the wound in his side. He was there and watched him die, and all of a sudden he's seen him arisen from the dead. And this Roman Gentile pagan is blown away with the resurrection of Jesus. So much so that he ends up hooking up with the disciples of Jesus. And he's in Galilee, and it says in the scriptures that Jesus walked on the earth for 40 days after coming up out of the grave. And this Roman in the movie is getting to follow and listen and see Jesus, the resurrected Christ. And one night, this guy's asleep, and he wakes up, and he looks over, and there's Jesus sitting on a mountain in Galilee, looking up at the stars. And this Roman soldier gets up and walks over and sits next to Jesus. And he looks over at him and he says, "I don't even know what to ask." And Jesus, gentle, "Speak your heart." What an opportunity. What would you pay for an opportunity like that? The fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form. Jesus is right there, and he's saying, "You got any questions? Do you have any questions?" If you could ask Jesus questions, what would your questions be? That's the purpose of this series. I love the scene. For the next few weeks, we're going to go up on a mountain with Jesus and we're going to ask him questions. We've been asking you for the last few weeks, what would be your questions for Jesus? And we have been pulling your questions. And so today is the start of a new series called Questions. And on the back, this is where we're heading for the next weeks. These were the questions that were most on your list of questions that you would want to ask Jesus. Why do bad things happen? Wouldn't it be great to go up on, "Hey, Jesus, what's your question? Why do bad things happen?" Wouldn't that be a great, how would Jesus answer that? Why am I here? What's the deal with heaven? What's the deal with hell? Why does the God of the Old Testament seem so different than the God of the New Testament? We're going to tackle that one. What does the Bible say about gambling and drinking and sex before marriage? Good question. Why is there so many denominations? Isn't that nice? Why do we need to tell others about you? Why is that so important? These are the questions that were your questions, and we're going to get a shot at answering them as best as we can as pastors and Bible teachers. By the way, there's a bunch of other questions. You guys, these were great. We've also on our website, if you go on our website, our Facebook page, we were in the studio, and we're just reading your questions and taking a shot at answering them. There are as many questions that you have. And so we've done our best to answer them, so you can check them out. And questions. Why do bad things happen to good and innocent people? That's a good question, isn't it? Why is there so much suffering in the world? Why wouldn't Jesus prevent this? It's a good question, isn't it? Majority, a big chunk. Why? Why does bad things happen? If we could ask Jesus, if you could be up on that hill and sit down with him, and if this was your question, what would Jesus say? Why does he allow suffering? Why does he allow evil? How would Jesus answer that? This morning, I'm going to tell you how I think he would answer it as a follower of Jesus. Are you interested? Jesus, why? I think Jesus would answer that question by taking us to the very beginning of the book, to the very beginning of our existence. He would take us to the book of Genesis. In chapters 1 and chapters 2, God creates the heaven and the earth. He creates light and the universe and the oceans and the land and all the animals. And it's all good, God says. God creates a special being made in his image, mankind, out of the dust of the ground. God forms Adam, says he breathes into him life, physical life, spiritual life, and makes Adam in his image, mankind. There's a question. If we're made in the image of God and we're messed up, does that mean God is messed up? Great question. I answered, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? That'll be in our website this week and our Facebook page. Just go check it out. We'll give it a good shot. It's a great, what does it even mean to be made in the image of God? But God makes us in his image, and God takes from Eve's side and creates woman. Man and woman. They're in the Garden of Eden. God creates a beautiful garden on planet Earth. A perfect place. And I want you to take notes this morning, just as we begin this series, this talk on why does God allow bad things to happen. Can you take notes this morning and take these to your small groups and discuss these, think about these. I want you to write this down. In the Garden of Eden, are you ready? There is no need. Everything is provided by God. In the Garden of Eden, there is no need. Do you have any needs? Can you imagine having no need? All is provided. In the Garden of Eden, there is no death. There's no crying. There's no pain. There's no guilt. There's no shame. In the Garden of Eden, there is perfect love. Can you imagine? Between God and human beings. In the Garden of Eden, there is perfect love between God and human beings. In the Garden of Eden, there is perfect love between all human beings. Can you imagine what that would look like? In the Garden of Eden, everything was happening there that you and I wish was happening today. Perfect. Amazing. People, this was God's perfect plan in the beginning. Let it sink in. Just let that sink in. What does that tell you about God? Don't you wish that the Bible would just end right there and there'd be nothing else written? Don't you wish that what I just described to you was happening in the world today? What happened? People, what happened? Is freedom a good thing? Hey, you living in America in the 21st century, the land of freedom and liberty, how many people in here would say freedom is a good thing? Do you like freedom? Is freedom good? What if you use your freedom to do bad things? Is your freedom still good? Have you ever seen a crowd gather carrying signs that says "down with freedom" or "back to bondage"? You seen these? You and I in this room intuitively know, recognize that freedom is a good thing. You and I in this room recognize intuitively that freedom is a good thing. Being made in the image of God involves us being people of freedom of choices. See, in the Garden of Eden, God plants a tree that if we eat of it, will be an act, a choice of rebellion against our Creator, to leave and reject God. If we don't have this option to leave God, then are we truly free, people? Answer. If you don't have an option to leave God, are you really free? God plants this tree, and he says, don't eat of this. If you do, you will die. God says, I am life. I'm the author of life. You stay with me, you have life. If you leave the God of life, what do you have? What's the opposite of life? Death. Hey, what is the opposite of darkness? Light. What's the opposite of life? Death. God says, and he warns, don't do this. But it's there. It's there. You will die, he says, if you eat of this, spiritually and physically. So what happened? Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Do you know who asks the first question in the Bible? This would be a great trivia question. Who asks the first question in the Bible? Satan does. And it's a question of doubt. Did God really say, you must not eat from the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from any of the trees in the garden. But God did say, you must not eat from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Don't you want to be like God? Knowing good and evil? Satan, a fallen angel, comes and deceives Eve. God is holding out on you. God cannot be trusted. People, Adam and Eve had a million reasons to trust God, just like you and I do today. But I've noticed that most of us are just looking for one reason not to trust God. And it goes all the way back to our beginning. All these reasons why I should trust God. Look at where I'm living. Well, what about you shouldn't trust? We're just looking for one reason not to trust God, and I'm out. Here we go. This one's kind of good. Why did God create Satan? Answer. Isn't that a good question? Why would a loving, all-powerful God create Satan? Answer. He didn't. He created a good angel named Lucifer. And if you read Ezekiel 28, if you read Isaiah 14, it describes the pre-existence of Lucifer before he fell, that he was an angel in heaven that was in charge of the worship in heaven. He was a beautiful, angelic being, and it says that he was beautiful until the day that evil was found in him or unrighteousness. And when you read his fall, he says, I wanted to ascend to God. I wanted to be like the Most High God. Satan was created. He's a fallen angel. Why would God create Adolf Hitler? Adolf Hitler's a fallen human being, messed up. Satan is a fallen angel, messed up. God didn't create Satan. God created a good angel that fell. That's a video you can look on our website too. I just answered that one in the, give you all the verses. You'll have some fun with it. It's pretty cool. Satan fall, he's also made in the image of God. He appears to be some kind of moral free being with ability of thought, reason, and choice, made in God's image. It says the angels are a people that are also made in the image of God. We are humans on this earth, and somehow we're made in the image of God, which makes us unique and special. Satan comes and deceives Eve. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was there, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked, and so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called out to man, "Where are you? Can you hide from God, people?" Are they thinking clearly? Do you notice the moment they eat, they changed. They fell. Something bad happened to them. They are messed up from the moment. They're not thinking clearly amongst themselves, with each other, or God. Where are you? He answered, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from that tree?" The man said, "The woman you gave me gave some, and I ate." And the Lord said to the woman, "What have you done? What have you done? What have you done?" I sense heartache in the Creator, emotion, sadness. What have you done? Take the first five things of those notes and just draw a line through them. That's what she had done. The garden and who you are is gone. What have you done? From this time on, God's creation is broken. Have you noticed that the weather's been broken lately? Have you guys seen this? Have you noticed this? If we were to walk around in Florida, could we walk around and just interview people? Have you noticed the weather's been broken? Do you think they would agree? Have you noticed that the weather's broken? Have you noticed lately that your body's broken? No matter what kind of New Year's resolutions that you made that you're keeping, eventually, everything's going to continue to sag. Do I hear an amen? Your body's broken. It's winding down. It's marred. People, you're broken. I'm broken. The things I want to do, I can't seem to do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. What's wrong with me? Can you relate? I'm broken, you're broken, the world's broken, the weather's broken, your bodies are broken, you're a mess, and I'm a mess. Why do bad things happen? Do you want to know why? Take note. Note number 6. Why do bad things happen? Because we live in a fallen world, according to the Scripture. Did you ever notice before you were Christian? I noticed this. This world has beauty and brokenness in it. I would sit there and say, look at the sunset going behind Catalina. What a beautiful thing. And then you look at how messed up people are and they're murdering and killing. It's like, what is going on in this world? Before I became a follower of Jesus, I looked at this world and said, there's clearly conflicts of existence happening in this place that I live. There's such beauty here and there's such brokenness here. And I didn't get it until I opened the Bible. It explains it. We live in a fallen world. John 16:33, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Thank you for letting me know. In the world that we live in now, 2,000 years ago, as Jesus, he says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Jesus says to expect trouble, to prepare for trouble, because it happens. Why does bad things happen? Because we live in a fallen world. Why do bad things happen? Because we are children of fallen parents. We are children of fallen parents. Adam and Eve had children who were physically and spiritually like themselves. Adam and Eve reproduced themselves. Children that are physically broken and spiritually separated from their Creator from birth. All humans are born like their first parents, desperately inclined to sin, alienated from relationship with their created God. We are all born destined for trouble, for suffering, for death. Why does this happen? Because we live in a fallen world, and we're children of fallen parents. From the moment Adam and Eve ate, we've been going to funerals ever since. Right? Hey, why do bad things happen? Because we use our freedom for bad choices. Write that down. Do you want to ask? Why do bad things happen? Because we use our freedom for bad choices. Galatians says this, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. I knew Mike a long time ago when I first met my wife, Cinda. She knew Mike and we became friends. We became seminary buddies and went to school together. Mike's brother picked up the honorable profession of being in the law enforcement industry, and he was a police officer in the city of Irvine, Clay Cranford. Hopefully none of you have met him. So I would go ride along. Hey, Mike, I'm going to go on a ride along with your brother. I remember we go out on this call, and I still remember this. I was a young chaplain. I'm riding around with Clay, and he loves Jesus. We're talking about the Lord together, and we get a call that this lady is breaking into somebody's house, and we go over around the corner, and there's this drunk woman, drunk, barely standing, breaking into her boyfriend's house because she wants some drugs that are in there, and he's broken up with her, and he's trying to get straight, and he's the one that called the cops on her, and we, you know, click, click, and, you know, sit down. And we're driving her. Irvine Police Department can't put ladies in our jails. We have to take them to Santa Ana. It's a place called the Taj Mahal. That's where we don't have facilities. So we drove her to Santa Ana. We're driving her to the Taj Mahal. And I'm just worried that she's going to throw up in the back seat of the patrol car. And that smells. She finds out that I'm a chaplain. Why is God allowing this to happen to me? Chaplain? Clay goes, you take this one. I said to her, is it God's fault that you're in the back of this car, or is it your fault? She's quiet. Last year, I'm an 80s boy. I love Michael Jackson. Why didn't God stop Michael Jackson from overdosing on drugs last year? Why didn't God stop 9/11? Why didn't God stop the drunk driver last night that killed somebody? Why doesn't God stop you and I from sinning every day? Every day? Why didn't God stop you from sinning last night or this morning? Would you be happy if he did? People, what I've learned over the years is that God, our Creator, in His sovereignty, respects people's freedom of choice. Back in the garden and today, this is what I've learned. God gave you a gift, freedom, and God, in His sovereignty, allows you to exercise that without His intervention. It's His gift to you, and He respects your choices. Today and back then. It's a unique part of us being made in the image of God. And God isn't going to force us to do something against what we want to do. He's a respecter of our free will. He's a respecter of our choices. And He allows us to reap what we sow in our decisions, whether good or bad. Let that sink in. That's God. Is it good to be free? But freedom, people, makes evil possible. If God made free creatures in His image, and if it's good to be free, then the origins of evil is in the misuse of freedom. The origin of evil is the misuse of freedom. That should have been a note, but I didn't have you write. You should take notes on that one. Hey, people in the Garden of Eden, whose fault was it? Was it God's? In the Garden of Eden, whose fault was it? Was it Satan's? Was there anybody else there? If you ask Adam, whose fault was it? Right? The woman you gave me. Right? Eve? Why do we, have you noticed that every son of Adam and every daughter of Eve has a hard time owning our own behavior? I've heard people say, it's my parents' fault for the decisions I've made. Or my friends made me do it. It was peer pressure. Hey, it's true that background and training and environment affects choices, but they don't force choices. Do you understand? They affect, but they don't force you to make these choices. Somewhere in each decision, there was an act of free will, and people, we make it and we own it, and it's ours and we're responsible for it, made in the image of God. Did you like hearing that? Wouldn't you rather hear it's not your fault? Sweetheart, it's not your fault you broke into that guy's window and tried to steal drugs from, it's not your, yes it is. Whose fault is it while you're in the back of this car? God's? Is it yours? Adam and Eve, don't do this. Don't eat of this. And here's the reason why. If you eat of this, you're going to die. Physically and spiritually. Don't do it. They do. Why did God even put the tree there? If he didn't, you have no choice. Did you know that forced love is rape? You have freedom. You want to leave God? Go ahead. But you're going to die. They ate, and we've been going to funerals ever since. They ate, and have you ever seen a beautiful painting and it's still wet and you just mar it? You can see fingers go through it. The painting's still there, the sunset's still there, but it's been marred, it's been effaced. That's what's happened to you. The image of God is still on you, but you are now broken. You are effaced. You are messed up, and so am I. Why do bad things happen? Because we live in a fallen world. Why do bad things happen? Because we were born to fallen parents. Why do bad things happen? Because you use your freedom to make bad choices. Why does bad things happen? You want to write down one more? Because sometimes we receive the consequences of others' bad choices. You want to be sad? Go to Children's Hospital and watch a crack baby being born. Welcome to the world, little one. Mom's on crack cocaine. She gives birth to a baby that's drugged out, shaking. Welcome to the world. Why do bad things happen? Because that little one is reaping the choices of her mother. Why do bad things happen? If you could sit on a mountaintop and ask Jesus, I have a question. Speak your heart. Why do bad things happen? Why does God allow this? That's a good question. Let me see if I can answer that for you. God didn't create this world the way it is. He created it perfect. Perfect. God gave human beings freedom of choices, and their choices have broken themselves and broken this world. I had an individual one time come and speak to me, a kid really struggling, suffering. He's in a lot of pain, and I want to go talk to the pastor of a church. Well, come on in, and he sits there, and he's talking about his life, and he's struggling, and he's empty and lonely and shame and guilt, and he's depressed and this, and he says, where's God? Where's God? Good question. In our suffering, in our fallenness, where's God? Is he up in heaven shrugging his shoulders and saying, oh, well, bummer for you? Is that God? Where is God? Is he up there laughing at us? That's a good question, isn't it? Oh, well. Bummer for you. Where's God? Here's God. When you read in Genesis right at the fall, immediately God says, I'm sending a Savior into the world. From the seed of woman, he's speaking to Satan. From the seed of woman, I'm going to send one to this earth, and he's going to bruise you on the head, and you're going to get a shot at him in the heel, but he's taking you down. From the moment of our fallenness, God is coming and pursuing us to restore us. God is going to deal with Satan. God is going to deal with this world. In John, 1 John 3:8, it says, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Listen to this. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Jesus came from the seed of woman. Did you note in Genesis chapter 3, there's the first prophecy of one coming from a virgin birth? Christmas is coming up in about, what, 15 weeks, 16 weeks? God coming, virgin birth, it's prophecy. See, Jesus comes to destroy what Satan started in Genesis 3. Jesus comes to restore us back to the Father. In Isaiah, Jesus is known as the suffering servant. Listen to Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Picture the cross, would you please? Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all. Think about this. Where is God? Where is God? Is he up in heaven laughing? Absolutely not. Do you know that God took the form of a human being like you and me and entered our world of pain and suffering that we created, not him? And he, the suffering servant, goes and dies on a cross and pays your shame and guilt and unrighteousness before a holy God, and he bears your judgment in his body so you don't have to and so that you can be restored to the Father? That's God. Amen? That's God. Where is God in my suffering? He's right there. Right there. Right there for you. And if you're going to hell, and that's in a few weeks, you got to step over that body to get there. Good for you. Go for it. Where is God? He has overcome the world. And he's restoring this world. We'll end with this. Revelations 21, 1 through 5. Genesis. Have you noticed lately that the world's broken? Genesis, Revelation at the very last book of the Bible. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who sat on the throne said, I am making everything new. Do you remember I told you to mark out 1 through 5? Can you erase that mark? Because it's all coming back. It's all coming back. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. As we see Jesus face to face, where's God? Does he just say, well, bummer for you and leave? Absolutely not. Did you know that God pursues you? God restores you. Jesus has come and offers you freedom and forgiveness and redemption from the cross. Jesus brings life back into your dead bones. Jesus brings his spirit into us that we are spiritually alive. Through Jesus, we've been reconciled back to the Father. And through Jesus, we're going to have new bodies that are not going to be broken anymore. God is in the process of restoring what happened in Genesis 3, and God pursues you. And because of this, people, we have hope beyond the grave. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live. Amen? Amen. Do you guys, this is God. Great, you know, Jeremy Camp is a pretty cool young man. He's written some great worship music. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave dwells in us. I love that song. Jeremy Camp, I have a picture of him when he was married to his first wife. Does he look old enough to be married? He's 23 and she's 21. They were married 1 year and she died of ovarian cancer. Should he throw up his hands and say, forget God? He writes a song called There Will Be a Day. With no more tears, He watched his wife die, suffer in cancer and die. And as he watched his wife die, he says, yep, but she's in heaven. And someday this will end. There will be a day. Why suffering? This is how I believe Jesus would answer the question. And Jesus would tell you and I here today, I've come for you to deal with this world that's broken. In this world, it's broken, and you're going to have hard times. But you need to take courage, because I've come to deal with this world. The fallen angel of this world, the consequences of sin in my own body on the cross. He says, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and it's all good. Jesus is restoring you. Why would you not love Jesus Christ? Can please someone explain to me why somebody wouldn't love Jesus? Why would somebody not follow Jesus? Can someone explain to me why you wouldn't follow Jesus? Why would somebody blow off Christ? Can you explain to me why somebody would do this once they learn who he is? Can you help me? I don't understand. The more you know Jesus, the more you're drawn to him. When Jesus says, do you love me like I've loved you? When he calls you to say, will you please follow me? What, are you going to tell him no? Go ahead. Do it. Shame on you. Shame on you if that's what you plan on doing. Fine. Then just climb over his body. That's fine. He gives you the freedom to do that. Go for it. And he'll let you. If you come to him, he'll heal you.